Last week we started this topic, right? The rest of the story. And those of you who were here last week understand that we're not talking about the rest of the story, like I'm telling you a story and I tell you the rest of it, but we're talking about the rest as it is in Christ. Yes? The Sabbath rest. The rest of the entire story. Amen? And so we want to hear from Jesus today. All right. So, so many of you, I'm sure, have heard of Michelangelo, yes? Michelangelo was one of the greatest artists of the Renaissance period, and we, many of us, have seen his works, and they're beautiful works, right? And he had done this work called the Pietà, right? The Pietà, and it was on display, and people were, of course, walking by and enjoying the beautiful piece, and then one of the people said, "Oh, such a beautiful! Wow, this must be done by." And this person named somebody else as the creator of this masterwork, and Michelangelo happened to be close by, close enough to hear what this person said, and they did not assign credit to him, and he, of course, did not take that very well. So after everybody had left and the piece had been returned back, he went and he made sure he inscribed the name in the sash, right? He inscribed his name and he inscribed. Let me read it for you. What is it here now? Michelangelo Buonarroti's Florentine made it. So there would never be another person who will ascribe credit to somebody else for this masterpiece. And so this morning we are going to be talking about one who has done the greatest masterpiece. Yes, one who has done something which all the entire universe wonders at, because he is the God who made all things. And so today we know that God has given us a memorial in time. And as we talk about the rest of the story, we appreciate the fact that he has given us rest when he made man. And so, as we go to our next slide, we read here again. We read this last week, and we read it again. Let's see. Okay, we read it again from Genesis chapter 2, and we start at verse 1. The Bible says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished." We talked about this last week, that God was finished with his work of everything that he had to do. And he said it was very good, right? And the Bible says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he has done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done." God rested because he was done. You and I rest because we are tired, right? God wasn't tired. God was done with his work. And you and I pick up again the next day because we are never done. The Bible says in verse 3, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." And so if you are looking here, I'm not sure if my light is working, but you would notice that the seventh day, right, is highlighted, right, and rested is highlighted, and a few other words. So there are three things that God did when he made the Sabbath, right? Three things. What did he do? He rested, he blessed it, and he sanctified it. These are three very important things. There's no other day that God did these three things to. And one of the things that we have to appreciate is this was God's masterpiece, right? This was the crowning. You know, we as men, we are the crowning of his creation, but to celebrate his wonderful works, He crowned it with the Sabbath. And so we also understand that the word seventh appears how many times? Three times, right? Appears three times. And so we know that first of all, the word seventh in the Hebrew is seven letters. And so just a piece of a nuance there that God is trying to tell us something about the number seven. It is always the number of completion and perfection as it relates to God. And so God, the Bible says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, and then he rested on the seventh day, and then he blessed the seventh day. Mentioned three times. Now in the Hebrew economy, when if you want to emphasize something, you mention it twice. But God said, I'm going to mention it a third time, so that we know how very important this thing is. As a matter of fact, if we look at this slide here, this here, there's a literary structure of the creation story. A literary structure. We see the first day is mentioned once, the second day is mentioned once, the third day is mentioned once, the fourth day is mentioned once, the fifth day is mentioned once, the sixth day is mentioned once, but like we just talked about, the seventh day is mentioned how many times? Three times, that's right. God wants us to know that there was Edenic perfection when God finished his work. And the Sabbath is commemorating and celebrating and memorializing that perfection. So as we see here now, you know, this is just a slide that tells us, because, you know, there are questions about the Sabbath, yes? And we know it is the seventh day. We don't need to go through all the, you know, we know it's the seventh. We know it's a Saturday. That is the seventh day. There is complete history for that. And the seventh day is called Sabbath in so many different languages. This list is not exhaustive. There are so many other languages. Of course, in the English, it's called Sabbath, yes? And then we see in the Greek, Sabaton, Spanish, Sabado, Portuguese, Sabado, French, Samadhi, and so on and so forth. So there is very little question, yes, which day is the Sabbath day? Yet and still. And God told us, like we talked about last week, so God memorialized the thing. And yet and still, we seem to ignore it. That's what we do. We're actually ignoring it. In fact, we are told that he has made his wonderful works to be remembered by the Sabbath. And so, my friends, the Creator is also our sanctifier. The Creator is also our sanctifier. We read in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 20, "Hallow my Sabbaths, and there will be a sign between me and you that you may know that I am the Lord your God." In other words, I am the God of creation. Everything you see and everything you don't even see, I made it all. And we know, like we talked about last week, that the Lord of the Sabbath is the Lord of all creation. So for Christ to call himself the Lord of the Sabbath is to announce publicly that he is the Lord of all creation. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. "Moreover, I say, I also give them my Sabbaths." Whose Sabbath is it? His Sabbath. Is it yours? No. Is it the Jews? No. Where were the Jews when God made the Sabbath? They were not even close to being around. Only God and Adam and Eve. Were they Jews? Some people think Adam was a Jew. I don't know where they're getting it from. They are part of spiritual Israel, yes, because Christ came and made us, those who accept him, as spiritual Israel. But the Bible says, to be a sign between them and me that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. So we see him as creator of all things, and we see him as redeemer and sanctifier. After he paid the price for our sins in the courtyard, we're studying the sanctuary right now in our Bible, in our meetings in the evenings. After he did the courtyard experience of dying on the cross for us and justifying us, now he is doing the sanctifying work, which starts in the holy place and ends up in the most holy place, which is up there in heaven, according to the Bible. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 tells us, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy as I am holy. Yes, and the Sabbath is a sign that we are being made holy by God. Because remember, when God made the Sabbath, he planted it in time. Michelangelo signed his name on the statue. God signed his name in time, so that there could never be a reason to forget it. Every seventh-day cycle, we are called to remember and memorialize and celebrate. We should not forget during the week either. But the seventh day is a special time that God has set apart to commemorate his creative work and his recreative work. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it tells us, without holiness, no one will see God. And so the entire experience is an experience of the sanctuary. This is why you cannot forget about the sanctuary, folks. The sanctuary is God's display and God's representation and demonstration of his work of saving us. And every time we deny it, first of all, we can't deny it if we're really big Bible students, but if we deny it, then we're really telling God that he has not created anything. And that is really an assault and an affront to God. And so we read here the Lord and the blessing of the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, we just talked about that, that he is Lord of the Sabbath. He blessed the Sabbath day and he hallowed it. Yes? Now, can you find a thing where it is not? Can you find something? Like I said last week, if I did not put this phone here, would I find it there? No. So the Sabbath blessing could only be found where? In the Sabbath. You can't find it on the first day of the week. It is not there. Now a man could say he put it there, but that's foolishness. Yes? Because the man is a created being, and the Lord of the Sabbath is the creator. He exists and has always existed. In fact, without him, nothing exists. And so the Bible tells us that the Sabbath blessing is found in the Sabbath. Now, every other day, God blesses us, right? The just and the unjust, the wicked and the good. But to be sure, the Sabbath day, he fills with a special blessing. I am the Lord. It is a sign that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And so Acts chapter 3, verse 26 tells us, to you first, God has raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. In other words, this is repentance. Yes, repentance. Remember that Christ came and he went to see John, and John was baptizing a baptism of repentance. And Christ went straightway to be baptized. And John says, no, I'm not even worthy. And Christ says, permit it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness, all right doing. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And God is looking for a man to repent. And since Christ is our second Adam, all men in one man, he is now man's representative. And God has put all men in him. And all men are sinners, right? And Christ took upon himself our sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As he goes to fulfill all righteousness, he must begin at the place of repentance. Because man must repent and come back to God. So there's this turning away from wickedness, yes, from what we once were, unto God. But since we are unable to do that, because every morning we wake up, our feet are set to do evil, and our mouths speak wickedness and deceit all day long, and our hands look for evil, we are quick to do evil, there had to be a man who came as we are, who became us, that he might repent for the entire human race. And we know that the Father was satisfied And he announced from heaven as the Holy Spirit descended upon him, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Finally, there is a man who has truly repented. And because of his repentance, because it is the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance, because of his repentance, we all could say that in him, we have truly repented. Your repentance means nothing outside of Christ because it is fake. It is full of self. But Christ, when he repented for us, having become man's representative. So the Sabbath memorializes and celebrates Christ as creator and redeemer. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. "But of him are you in Christ, who became unto us wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Christ is our all in all. Are you looking for something good? Turn to Jesus. Because in him is filled up all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him. So friends, we are talking now about the rest that remains. Last week we talked about the rest of the story. And we're talking today now about the rest that remains. Yes? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 tells us, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," that is the Jews in the wilderness. The gospel was preached to them in the display of the earthly sanctuary. The entire gospel message is a sanctuary message. And this is why we need to appreciate it. "But it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith." They thought it was just this thing that was just sitting there, and every time they committed sin, they had to bring a lamb, and they brought lamb after lamb after lamb, a constant offering of lambs without any sorrow, godly sorrow for sin. Not being mixed with faith. That this pointed to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If they had recognized that, sin would have been absent from their midst. They would have not been complaining so much, even after all God did for them. My friends, Paul is warning us to be careful, lest we make the same mistake, not being mixed with faith when we hear the gospel. "For we which have believed do enter into rest," as he said, "as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." The rest that remains, the rest that remains is for the people of God to enter into the everlasting kingdom. And the Sabbath is a sign for those who truly keep it. And remember last week we talked about that. It is not a keeping like you go try to do something. It is a spiritual rest. I give you my phone and I said, "Joe, could you please keep this phone for me while I go do some errands? I'll be back at 5 o'clock to get it." You keep the thing. You're not supposed to do anything with it. Just keep it. And keep it like you know it belongs to somebody else. And the Sabbath is a day for us to keep. Not trying to do, but to keep it. Cherish the thing. Hold on to it. Because it is a spiritual rest. It is not just a physical rest. The man who locks his shop and closes his business and rests from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, if he doesn't rest in Christ, he hasn't kept Sabbath. So, my friends, it is unbelief when we do that. And the man who rejects the Sabbath rest, even though he has heard of it, there remains no more rest. Because that is unbelief. So, my friends, we read here Seeing, therefore, it remains that some must enter in. Some have to enter in, right? Not all, because all have not believed and all will not believe, which is sad, which is a sad case for God. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. There remaineth therefore a rest in God's kingdom. When God made the earth, when God made the Garden of Eden, he said to Adam, tend and keep it. If you want to read this literally, what God was saying is, I give you the garden to rest. Adam had no laborious work to do, no wearisome work. It was to keep the thing, enjoy it, enjoy all that God has given him, enjoy spiritual rest. There was no physical taxing labor, wearisome labor. It was all a spiritual rest, for God is a spirit. Actually, God is the spirit. The Bible actually reads, God is spirit. He's not one of many spirits. God is spirit. And they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the rest is a spiritual rest. Now, the physical rest is part of it, but it is truly resting in Christ. For the Bible says that for he that has entered into his rest, he also has what? Has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. You could take comfort in the fact that you don't have to sweat and labor and cry and do all kinds of backflips and front flips to save yourself. God has done it in Christ. And Sister Lydia and Sister Abigail just celebrated their rest in Christ through baptism. God bless them. And so as a man cannot pay for the wages of his own sin, the man could confidently rest in Christ who has paid the wages for all sin. So now what does the Sabbath day have to do with the promise of eternal rest? Well, everything. The Sabbath is the memorial of the creation which was completed and declared to be good, very good, by God. Hence, the Sabbath commemorates a perfect creation. The world is no longer perfect as God made it. Yes? But God has preserved the Sabbath as somewhat of a piece of Eden, so that we could continue to enjoy the rest in him. But ultimately, we don't know what Eden looked like. We had no experience in Eden. So ultimately, the Sabbath then, as God is sanctifying us, the Sabbath then is a sign that God is preparing us once again to enter into the eternal kingdom. And so it reminds us that the creation was not always in this present condition. So as you celebrate Sabbath, don't just look at it as some type of dreary, tasking, you know, taxing and laborious and hard thing, and you can't wait for the sun to set. This is not keeping Sabbath. If this is our attitude towards Sabbath, I don't care how many songs we sing, I don't care how many nursing homes we go to, we are not keeping Sabbath. We are not keeping Sabbath, my friends. So the Bible tells us that in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 16, they shall be ashamed and also disgraced. All of them, they shall go into confusion together, who are makers of idols. And unfortunately, there is a spurious Sabbath that is in due time going to be enforced, and very soon here. And that is when the mark of the beast is enforced. And that is idolatry, my friends. And we should be careful. Because if we don't mix the gospel with faith, we would also fall for that mess. The Bible says, but Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and forever. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The rest that remains, because the word of God never fails. God's word returns unto him void. And since he formed the earth to be inhabited and to be inhabited by perfect beings, because it's a perfect rest, God will perform the work in you that he could bring you to his perfection and bring you into the everlasting kingdom, where we could truly keep Sabbath and rest in the everlasting kingdom. That is the rest that remains. But it only remains for those who are keeping Sabbath now. Sabbath, as it should be kept, it's a spiritual rest in Christ. And so God's rest in man's rest. Excuse me, God's rest is man's rest. And so the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, he rested on the seventh day from all his work. The Sabbath is given to man as a sign that he was to rest through all eternity with God and enjoy God's completed work in perfect freedom from all sin. That's what the original intent was, and it will surely be so because the word of God will prosper in the thing it was set forth to accomplish. And so Sabbath is resting upon the sure word and promises of God. You could take God's promise and stand on his promises and say, I would never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you all the days of your life. And he is making you, he says, I will make a man more beautiful than fine gold, yea, even more than the gold of Ophir. God is making you right now. The trying of your faith is to bring you out more precious than fine gold. Though it be tried with fire, will be found unto the praise and honor and glory of Jesus Christ at his appearing. And so, my friends, hence we who have believed do enter into his rest, ceasing from all our works. I pray this morning that we will appreciate that God has given us rest in him, and we will stop trying to save ourselves. It is not by might, it is not by power, it is by his spirit as he works in you. And so let us cease from our works to keep true Sabbath. The works of man are the works of the flesh, and it is sin. Every time you try to be righteous, you are sinning. Paul knows about that. He says, man, every time I try to do good, I do bad. Even what seems to, I may look at your work and say, wow, what a good man, what a good woman, because it looks so good. But God searches the heart, yea, the deep things of the heart. And God knows that that thing is coming from a wicked heart, from a heart that is full of wicked motives, that people will bow down to you and worship you and say, what a wonderful, kind man. No, my friends, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, Let us work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling, yes, because we have to fear. We have to shake in our pants to put our hands on the word of God and say, I'm going to do it. He has to give us literal shaking and trembling, because our filthy hands cannot keep the word of God. But we have a promise, because God never leaves us without a promise. For it is God who works in you, in me, both to will, so the willing is God's, and the doing is God's, and all for his good pleasure. And the pleasure of God is that those that you have given me will be with me where I am, that they may see my glory, the glory which I had with the Father before the world began. And the glory of God is his light, and the light of God is his love. And the love of God was given to us in Christ. So, my friends, you recognize that we can't do anything without Christ. It is he who loved us and washed us in his blood. Remember then the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is holy, so we are to keep it. We cannot make ourselves holy so that we can keep it holy. We cannot do that. The power that sanctifies the Sabbath is that which sanctifies us. Sanctification is being made holy. And right now we are all in the process, I hope so, by God's grace, that we are being sanctified. We are being made holy. Christ is being formed in us. And one day by his grace, we shall attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And Christ will come and take us to go and enjoy everlasting rest with him. The Sabbath is a sign of God's creative power. And we've read this verse before. The Sabbath is a sign of God's sanctifying power. The one who redeems us. The one who saves us. The one whose righteousness alone is the true righteousness. Paul says, I don't want to be found in my own righteousness. I want to be found in his righteousness. The true keeping of the law. And it is done only by faith. Righteousness by faith. For whom is the Sabbath? For whom is the Sabbath? For everybody, right? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember. You know, we talked about this last week and some again today. That God memorialized his creative work and yet his redemptive work in the giving of the Sabbath, so that we could rest from all our labors because he has finished the work. And then he comes back and he says, remember the thing, because it was from creation. You can't remember something that wasn't there. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it you will not work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your male servant, nor your ass, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the seas and all that dwell therein, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. And so, my friends, everybody needs to rest on the Sabbath day. The stranger within your gates needs to rest on the Sabbath day. The cattle, yes, and all that is yours. Even when you stay in a hotel room, put a sign up. Don't clean my room today, do not disturb. Give them rest. They're not resting from their job per se, because they still work on their job, but you are giving them rest, because that room has become within your gates. So give them rest, that by the grace of God, God may touch their hearts and they will enjoy the peace of God even as they go about their daily tasks. We should always be looking for opportunity to extend God's rest, God's Sabbath to people. People who tell you, well, I have my Sabbath, you have your Sabbath, tell them, I don't have a Sabbath. If you have one, then I wonder where you got it from. Because only God truly has rest. Because Sabbath is rest. Did that man give you rest? I don't know. Well, why are you keeping his day? The one who gives you rest from all your labor and has saved you and has redeemed you and is sanctifying you, he is the one that you should rest in. So, my friends, the invitation then is this. The invitation is this. And we read this from Desire of Ages, one of my favorite books. If you haven't gotten a copy of this book yet, I pray that you will ask somebody here to give you a copy of the Desire of Ages. It's a beautiful testimony of the life and gospel of Christ. And we read, to all who receive the Sabbath as a sign of Christ's creative and redeeming power, it will be a delight. It wouldn't be drudgery. It will be a delight. Seeing Christ in it, they delight themselves in him. The Sabbath points them to the works of creation as an evidence of his mighty power in redemption. While it calls to mind the lost peace of Eden, it tells us of peace restored through the Savior. And every object in nature repeats his invitation, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath. I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 28. The Sabbath is not only a portion of Eden preserved for us, but it is also identical to the rest promised to the saints of God. The Sabbath, my friends, is a delight. It's a delight. One of my favorite men that I like to study is E.J. Wagner. E.J. Wagner. And this is what he said. The Sabbath, a fragrant, how many of you love nice smells? I mean, just beautiful, nice. You love to smell the flowers as you walk along the way. A fragrant of paradise spans the chasm from Eden lost to Eden restored. As it is a memorial of the first creation, it is a pledge. And when God makes pledges, when God takes an oath, man, you could sit on it and believe the thing for dear life. A pledge of the second. It is not then a blessing. Is it not then a blessing and a delight? When we are beset with temptation, we only have to think of the power of God, the power that made the worlds from nothing, and know that the same power is put forth for our deliverance. If we would accept the thing, all the hosts of Satan are no contest for the Lord, for he spoiled principalities and powers. Can somebody say amen here today? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God is able to keep you in the day of trial. He is able to keep you from falling. You stand in him today. He says, to him that overcomes, I will give to sit in my father's throne, even as I have overcome and am set down in my father's throne. But you need not your overcoming in that sense, but you need his overcoming. Because when he overcame as you, for you. He didn't need to overcome anything. He was God in heaven. But he became you, and as you, he overcame. And so, my friends, Romans chapter 8, verse 37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors through him who loved us, saved us by his mighty right hand. Oh, friends, are you enjoying Sabbath? Are you truly keeping Sabbath? He who holds, listen. When God made the world, he spoke the word and it was done. Let there be and there was. And the same word, because his word never fails. The same word is the same word that upholds everything in its place today. Mars is not falling off the sky. Jupiter is not swinging over there. The moon is set right there at night. And the sun is set right there during the day. And all are kept in place by the mighty word of God, by his powerful word, which upholds them all these 6,000 years. And if he could uphold his creation with his word, or you best believe it could uphold you with the word of his mouth. So, dear friends, you are more than conquerors through him. You could delight in that. So, my friends, okay, the victory of the Sabbath, the victory of the Sabbath. How many of you like victory? How many of you like, we want victory, but for you to have victory, this is where this thing gets a little tricky with the kingdom of heaven. Because in the kingdom of earth, you wave a white flag because you've been defeated. You say, okay, I can't fight anymore, you win. No. In the kingdom of heaven, you wave a white flag to say that you want victory. The thing seems to be twisted. But it is not, because the things which are not real, the things which are not seen are the things which are real. And so when you wave your white flag to Jesus, you say, man, I am tired of fighting and I need some victory. And he will give you victory. And there is victory in the Sabbath because it is the rest of God. And so the psalmist says in Psalm 92, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For the Lord has made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. His hands are the ones that created all things, and his hands, his outstretched hands, are the ones that save you. You could triumph in the works of his hands. As the Sabbath is the sign of a perfect creation, it is a seal of a new creation in Christ. And you are sealed with the seal of God because his name is plastered and stamped on your forehead. And his name is his character, and the Sabbath memorializes who he is. And so, my friends, how many of you have heard of this? I'm sure many of you have heard of beavers keeping the Sabbath. How many of you have heard of that? Beavers keeping the Sabbath. If you don't, if you've never heard of it, go look, see on YouTube, right? Beavers, animals, yeah, running around, doing what they do. Every day of the week, 6 days a week, they are running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then comes Sunset Friday. And you could not find a beaver. You cannot find a beaver. It is running around all week until Sunset Friday. And they are quiet in their little homes. And you can't even hear a pin drop until Sunset Saturday evening. If beavers, friends, if beavers, yes? He made all things, including beavers, for Adam and Eve to enjoy. Not to eat, but to enjoy. If beavers could keep the physical rest of the Sabbath, how much more who the ones who God made in his own image and likeness? The ones who lost it, but the ones to whom it has been restored in Christ. It is a spiritual rest. And the beavers could teach us a thing or two. And so, dear friends, as we end this thing, we are told that Eden will be restored. And the rest of Eden will be restored. It is secure in Christ, and it is all because of the Lamb. And so all glory given to the Lamb today. Do you give him glory? And so we read in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23, Isaiah 66, verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And John the Revelator, he wants to end this thing with a bang, and he proclaims in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. My goodness, John. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea. Just in case you thought the beavers were just giving praise down here, they're going to be giving praise in the earth made new. And all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and power be unto him that sits on the throne, unto the Lamb. Oh, friends, this is the story. This is the rest of the story. The rest of the story is Jesus. The desire should be right now, give me Jesus. Is there such a one today who has yet to find Jesus? He is your rest. He is your peace. He is your righteousness. He is your all in all. Today the invitation is open. He is saying to you, I have set before you an open door. And as you hear that voice from behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. You want to come to the Father, you see those little circles there on the screen, on that little thing? That's for you to identify yourself. Are you there? Are you in that little circle there? Oh, that's my family. Oh, that's my family. Identify yourself right there, because he comes with angels for you and for me. But only as we have kept his Sabbath, as we have held on to it for dear life. If you want to say with me today, Lydia went today in the baptismal pool, and you are saying, Jesus, take my life and let it be consecrated unto you. Take my heart, because I cannot give it. It is thine own. It shall be your royal throne. If that is your desire today, why don't you stand up with me today? And if you truly want Jesus, because you have not found him yet, if you want him and you have him and you want to have more of him, you all could stand up with me. Even now, if that's your desire. But if there's one person here, you could stand up. But if there's one person here who says, I want to take that extra step because I have not yet found him. I've not yet had peace. I need peace. The world is going crazy. And you know you don't have any peace. But Jesus gives the peace within that passes all understanding. If there is one here today who is saying, I need such peace, because that is the only peace by which I could get out of this mess, this pit. This is God's rescue plan. If there's one here today, why don't you come forward here and shake my hand and give Jesus Christ your heart? Is there such a one? Such a one. Is there one? As the choristers come to sing, don't be bashful. Don't care about other people. Who cares? Can they give you rest? Can they give you Sabbath? Don't believe that guy over there that says he could give you rest. Jesus is your rest.